Welcome to Radio Bialik, and it's Elaine Wiesenthal-Millick once again welcoming all our listeners to the first April podcast. I say this because as I look out the window, the snow is falling. I thought we were done with it. We have an exciting program for you this week. I have Shoshana Fleischer to discuss with us, tell us a little bit more about the Gesher Chai program with a couple of her students. I have Morty Antal with us to discuss and tell us all about the Bialik Stock Exchange project, which we're in the midst of. And, of course, we'll end with the Tried But True, Parshat HaShavua, and I've asked Mrs. Eliashiv to join me when we do that. I just want to congratulate, before we get started, I want to congratulate the cast and the crew and the directors and the musicians and everybody who was involved in this week's production of Annie Get Your Gun. Once again, they continue to surpass everybody's expectations and put on a magnificent, magnificent show. So congratulations to all of you. I'd like to welcome with me today Morty Antal, an economics teacher at our school. Welcome, Morty.
Thank you very much.
What I'd like to ask you today is to share with our listeners about the economics project that you are so well known for. You actually instituted in the school, and it's really become an institution in the school. So can you tell us a little bit about the background, how the project started at the school, and why you find it such a worthwhile project to be doing?
Okay, well, about 5 years ago when I first came to the school, we looked for a way to have the students take the initiative in their learning and try out real hands-on learning experiences. And this project allowed them to do that.
And what are the goals of the project?
To teach cooperation skills, communication skills, and to work as a team primarily.
Right. And in terms of the economics that you expect the kids to be gaining from it?
The kids integrate all aspects of the course about business theory, about economic theory, and apply it in a real life situation.
Oh, that's really great. The kids seem to enjoy it a lot.
They look like they're having fun.
Right, and learning at the same time.
It's hectic, but everything's going really well.
There are other departments involved with you in this project?
To some extent, some of the other language departments get involved in terms of the advertising, trying to make things bilingual on the websites, etc. And we try to apply a little bit of science in terms of the food chemistry of the products they're selling.
Mm-hmm. And can you give our listeners, we take it for granted that most of us know about it, but not everybody does. Can you give our listeners just a little bit about what the project actually is, what the kids have to do?
The kids are divided into teams where they have to come up with a business concept. And they go all through the aspects from A to Z, from creation of the business, to design, to marketing, to legal documents, to actually building a physical booth where they'll sell the product, to the production of an item, and the selling, which will which is coming up.
Okay, that's great. Actually, you mentioned it's coming up. Then it's coming up
Next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. The kids will be selling during the junior and senior lunches. And I'd like to take this opportunity to invite everyone who's part of the Bialik family, friends of the students and former students and grandparents, everyone to come by and taste all the wonderful things they're selling.
That's great. So we're talking about between 11 and 11:45 being
approximately
lunch.
That's right.
And then what about between 11:45 and 12:15?
Basically between 11 and 1, the junior and senior lunch.
Okay, that's great. So any of you want to stop by and buy some of the products and see what the kids are doing, just come first to the main office to check in as a guest and then be free to join us and see what's going on downstairs. And the proceeds of the project?
We'll be supporting a number of different charities, a food bank, and some other student-led initiatives in the school.
Right. Okay, thank you very much. We have two of your students here with us today who are going to be letting us know just a little bit more from the student perspective what this project is like. I'd like to welcome two Secondary 5 students who are with me here today to share their experiences with the project, Michelle Asimov and Brittany Hansel. Welcome, girls.
Hi.
Would you please tell our listeners first what you are gaining out of the project, what you are learning from the project? Maybe each of you, like Michelle, would you like to start?
Well, we basically just learned how to cooperate as a team. It was a really good experience learning how to have to count on other people for doing the work and each person having a task to do. And like just going from step one to the end, and it's like really interesting to show how like everything is turning out sort of.
So I guess you must also learn like how to organize a big project.
Right.
Right. And when you say everybody has a task to do, then, Michelle, what is your task on your project?
Well, everyone kind of cooperates in everyone else's tasks, obviously, except for there's one CEO who's basically the boss of everyone, but everyone cooperates together. I was in charge of helping with stock exchanging, so getting people to buy stocks and selling stocks and marking down the money that we have and like our budget and everything. And also I participated in designing the booth and building the booth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Brittany, how about you? What are you getting out of the project?
What I'm getting out of the project is student cooperation, how to build a company on your own, how to organize, organization skills, and basically to really put time and effort into donating money, your food, and everything for a very good cause at the end of all the project.
That's great. What about your role in the project?
My role was designing the booth and promotion of the company. And I basically designed the booth, chose the colors, and obviously everyone has their input on it, and we have to decide as a group the colors and how everything, how we all want like it organized, and it's a difficult task, but it all falls out very well in the end.
Are you having a good time?
Yeah, a lot
it's
of
amazing.
Fun.
It's one of the funnest projects of the year for sure.
It's very hands-on.
Yeah,
it's good.
Great.
You get a real experience.
Yeah.
So I guess you're looking forward to next week.
Yeah. Very excited.
Okay, I wish I could ask you what your product is, but that wouldn't be fair to the other booths. So those of you who want to see the variety of products, again, you're welcome to visit us next week. Thank you, girls, so much for being with me.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And good luck with selling your products.
Thanks.
I have with me right now Mrs. Fleischer, Shoshana Fleischer, who is a Hebrew Tanakh teacher in our school. Welcome, Shoshana.
Welcome. I'm really happy to be here.
And what I've asked Shoshana to talk to us about is a program called the Gesher Chai program. Would you like to translate that for our listeners?
Yes. The Gesher Chai program, basically, if we translate it, it's called a living bridge. And we are trying to connect our kids here in Canada with a community of students in Israel.
Okay. And hence the word bridge. And how many schools are involved in this?
The program started in 1997. We have 5 high schools in Montreal that are part of this program and 7 elementary schools.
And our school, I understand the schools are each twinned with a school in Israel. So our school is twinned with?
Our school is twinned with Mekif Zayin in Be'er Sheva. And we met it's going on 2 levels, the students and the teachers. The teachers from our school are in contact with teachers in Be'er Sheva, and we are planning programs for our kids on both ends of the world.
And actually, myself personally, I actually visited the school there when I went on a trip, and it really felt that I was visiting. I had a connection. It wasn't just a random school. When I was in Israel, I felt a need to go to Mekif Zayin, even though it was a family trip that I had gone on, because of that connection. And the teachers have come here in the past, and you have been there. Is that not correct?
Yes. Teachers came here. They are very excited about our program that's going on here. 2 years ago, we did a Tu Bishvat Seder with our kids on a video conference. It was very exciting.
And actually, have some of our teachers visited the school there?
Yes, our teachers visited the school there, and we are very excited to welcome next week a group of teachers from Mekif Zayin in our school. They will be coming into classes, they will meet with the kids, they will participate in some of our lessons, and they are bringing a lot of new materials that was just written for Israel's 60th birthday that we really look forward to share with them and create some kind of a program that will be teaching here and they will be teaching in Israel at the same time.
I know, Shoshana, before I speak to a couple of the students here, I just wanted to thank you. I know the whole Hebrew department is working a lot on the 60th and trying to work with the teachers and so on, but I do know that you've taken some kind of leadership role with making this Mekif Zayin and this Gesher Chai program really sustaining it over the years, and I look forward to more of these projects taking place. And I guess we'll hear a little bit from the girls who are with me and hear a little bit from what's actually going on in your classroom from their perspective.
Thank you very much. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. So I have with me two secondary three students, Jessica Greenberg and Lauren Levinson, who are in Mrs. Fleischer's class. Welcome, girls.
Hi.
Welcome.
I'm so glad that you're here because we heard about the program and it sounds very exciting. And I love to hear about the program from the teacher's perspective, but it's also equally important to hear about it, if not even more important, to hear about it from the student perspective. So would one of you like to share a little bit about what you are doing in the classroom as part of this Gesher Chai program?
So right now we are writing letters to the students in Israel. And we write a little bit in both languages, Hebrew and English. We write about how we celebrate the holidays. Sometimes we ask them how they celebrate holidays. And it's really interesting to get to know how they live.
Mm-hmm. Do they, is it letters or is it emails? Is it
both.
Both. Okay.
Yeah.
And what about you, Jessica? Is there something
Well,
else?
We've been emailing them via Hotmail. And for Purim, they also sent us some Mishloach Manot in a big package. It was very nice to receive that. And we hope to send them something very nice for Passover also. So we all have to get them little gifts. And we're going to make some keychains with white and blue beads that say Chai on them.
Right. So have you ever been to Israel, either one of you?
No, I'm going to Israel this summer, though. So it would be nice to meet the people that we're interacting with now. And maybe we could all meet them and start a relationship with them this summer.
Mm-hmm. So this program in the classroom, does it make you feel just a little bit more connected to Israel and to the teenagers there?
Definitely, yeah.
Right. Are you also, Lauren, are you going to Israel by any chance this summer?
No, I won't be, but I still hope to, using letters and email, I hope to still keep in touch with the girl that I'm writing to.
That's great. I'm wondering if you can reflect just a moment, it's a bit of a difficult question, on what this relationship with the students in Israel might do for some of what you learn in a classroom.
Well, we just finished learning a poem by Naomi Shemer called Anachnu Me'oto HaKfar. And at first when we learned it, we learned the meaning of it, and it was very interesting. But then once I started talking and writing with a girl in Israel, it made the poem more relevant to... Mm-hmm. I was able to understand it better and understand what the kids were going through.
That's great. Can you just translate for our listeners, Anachnu Me'oto HaKfar, what it means?
It means we're from the same village.
Right. Okay. That sounds quite powerful, actually. I'm wondering also, maybe Jessica, maybe you want to answer this one. In terms of the language, I know students here sometimes are, you know, whether it's any language, French or Hebrew, a second, third language, we all feel a little bit lacking in confidence in using it. Has this connection with the students in Israel made you a little bit more comfortable possibly using Hebrew? Is there any...
Yeah, I think it's really nice because when they write to us, even though they speak like primarily Hebrew, they write to us a little message in English also. And when we write back to them, we write in English, and we try to include a lot of Hebrew also so they'll understand what we're writing. So I think it's very nice how we could both write to each other in our own languages and in the language that we know we share in common and both understand each other.
That's great. Okay. Well, I want to thank both of you for being with us, and hope that you get to actually meet these Israeli pen pals and partners when you get to go there this summer or some other time in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now it's time for our weekly discussion of Parshat HaShavua. And this week I've asked Mrs. Eliashiv to join me as we discuss the Parsha. Because when the two of us were, I have to admit something, even though I'm the one who does the Parsha HaShavua each week, Chana Eliashiv is very helpful and instrumental in learning with me a little bit so that I can present it. And for that, I'm grateful. Thank you very much, Chana.
My pleasure.
But this week I've actually asked her to join me, first of all, so I can make that public statement, but secondly, because the two of us really feel that this parsha is incredibly relevant and want to share it together. So, Hannah, can you tell our listeners the actual name of the Parsha?
All right. This week we are doing Parashat Tazria Metzulah. It's one of seven designated Torah portions that, depending upon the number of Shabbatot in a year, is either read as two separate portions or combined into one.
Okay. And the one in which you and I were talking about was the second half of it. And if you can just very, very briefly tell our listeners what it's about before we get to understand its relevance.
Okay. Both parashot really deal with a variety of skin diseases. So you're going to say, like, why is this relevant now? But we're going to get to that in a second. And the one that really was really fascinating for both of us was Metzorah. And that continues the discussion, but it also becomes interestingly, controversial the same time as it is interesting.
Okay, so now I'm really intrigued. I wonder if our listeners are as intrigued. So what is the parsha about? I know it's about leprosy.
Correct.
And which is a disease that doesn't really exist anymore.
No.
And it's a disease from what you've told me that really was only inflicted upon Jewish people.
Okay, it's a skin. I don't know if it's leprosy 100%, but for lack of a better translation, everybody calls it leprosy. But it was a skin infliction that was really inflicted only upon the Jewish people. Nobody else. And it wasn't diagnosed by a doctor. It wasn't given a remedy by a doctor, but the high priest.
And I understand that the cure for this was isolation.
Yes. It was excommunication, meaning outside you had to leave your community and to be totally isolated, solitary confinement. And you had to reflect on what you did and why you got this particular skin disease.
Right, so here's where we come to the part that we found quite relevant. The disease was given to a person, was inflicted upon a person who supposedly did something wrong, almost as a punishment. And what are some of the transgressions that would lead to such a terrible disease?
There are seven of them, in fact. We had slander, bloodshed, perjury, adultery, arrogance, misappropriation, and meanness.
So this is where I said that the two of us were so intrigued with this, because these are all, basic morals, values. These are things that are, it's not a matter of, do not kill and do not steal, but it's how you're supposed to treat each other. And when we talk about slander or arrogance or meanness, these are principles that obviously all of us hope to avoid and to explain to everybody that these are not correct behaviors. And the interesting thing is that the cure for the leprosy was you had to be excommunicated, so you go somewhere in solitary confinement and reflect on what you have done.
And then, fix your ways, meaning that if you had gossiped about someone, you had to go and apologize and so on. Although gossip it's called an evil tongue, Lashon Hara, is very interesting. One rabbi mentioned, he said somebody came to say that they were sorry. And they said, it's good that you're repenting, but it can never be undone. He said, if you take feathers, a pillow of feathers, and it breaks and the feathers come out, and then you try to put them all back into the pillow, they will never go in. There's always a feather somewhere floating around. That's Lashon Hara. You have a friend of a friend of a friend, somebody will know, and somebody always gets hurt. That's right. The worst, worst thing that you can do.
So I guess what we are both saying to the community and whoever is listening is that some of the more cruel things that we really are doing and we should be reflecting upon is when we just talk meanly about people, when we slander people, when we are arrogant in our ways, that these are totally, totally unacceptable, very, very hurtful, and definitely requires a lot of reflection to change your ways. And unfortunately, sometimes the damage is just done. It's gone too far and you can't even fix it. But you can only hope to fix it by improving in the future in your relations with people.
Exactly.
All right. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Thank you.